to find out why Abraham was a friend of God. In James, the second chapter, verse 23, God gave Abraham the singular distinction of being called the friend of God. James 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So Abraham was not called the friend of God through grace alone, through faith alone. Abraham was called a friend of God because he had a living faith. Abraham's faith included being persuaded by God to kill his son Isaac. In this lesson, we see that being a friend of God is not open to everyone. We can be a friend of Christ, as we'll see from the scripture. But why did God give Abraham that great and marvelous honor of calling Abraham his friend? In John, the first chapter, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but many souls have seen Jesus. And in a physical form after the resurrection, we have five or six witnesses today that testify to seeing Jesus in different forms. So there's a great difference for someone who would have seen the Father. We sing a song, I'll Be a Friend of Jesus, which is quite possible today, but some claim that they are God's friend. Let's see what the scriptures say concerning that. John, the eighth chapter, verse 38. John 8, verse 38. No man has seen God at any time, but Abraham was his friend. John 8, 38. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which is seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. So in the same way that these were saying that God was their father and Abraham was their father, just saying that does not mean that God was their father or that Abraham was their father. In the same way today, many say that God is their father and God is their friend, but what do the scriptures say? Now, we'd like to be a friend of God and of Jesus, but what does the scripture say? Romans, the fourth chapter, Romans 4, verse 16, there's one earthly being who called the Father of all of God's children. Therefore, it is of faith, Romans 4:16, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not of that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So there's one earthly being who is called the father of all God's children besides the father, and that's Abraham. And as he says here, who is the father of us all? So how is Abraham our father when many people don't know that? Galatians 3, verse 27, maybe one explanation. Galatians 3, verse 29, I'm sorry. If we have faith that God wants us to have, it is to be a child of our father Abraham. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? If you're Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Why? Because the same faith that makes one a disciple of Christ is the kind of faith that makes one a child of Abraham. And why are men children of Abraham? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Paul is referred to as the father of the Corinthians, but not the father of all Christians like Abraham. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So Paul converted these people through the gospel, and in that sense, Paul was their father. But Abraham is our father in a different way. Abraham is the father of the faithful men. So if we have faith like Abraham, then we're children of Abraham. Genesis 17, verse 1, God has honored Abraham above all men except Jesus, and we need to do the same thing. Abraham is our example of having complete faith in impossible promises. Genesis 17, 1, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So Abraham is not Abram to us, but rather Abraham. He is the father of many nations, and he's our father, according to what we read in Romans, the 4th chapter. He's our father if we walk in the steps of his faith. But Abraham was not yet called the friend of God when he was 99 years old. He lived to be 175, and when he was 112, God called him his friend. Let's turn to Isaiah 51. Abraham was called the father of the righteous from that time forward. Isaiah 51, verse 12. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So Abraham was their father. And Isaiah is used to remind them that Abraham was their father. And Abraham believed these promises that God had made him. And if we're following his steps, we'll believe all the promises that God makes, even though they are humanly impossible. In Genesis 20, verse 7, Abraham has the honor of being the first one to be named as a prophet of God. Now, therefore, he told Abimelech, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if he restore her not, know thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. So God identified Abraham as a prophet of God. And of course, there were many prophets besides Abraham, but Abraham has the honor of being the first one named in the scripture. In Acts, the 3rd chapter, in verse 21, Acts 3, verse 21, this doesn't say that Abraham was the first prophet in the world, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So they were prophets, but in God's word, he doesn't call them that until after he names Abraham as his prophet. So Abraham was born about 2,000 years after the world was created. So there were many prophets before Abraham, but he's the first one who specifically called a prophet of God. So the creation, 6,000, 2,000 years later, Abraham was born 2,000 years later, Christ is born, and 2,000 some years, we were born. So that divides time up into equal parts, or essentially equal parts. But it's significant that no individual but Abraham in Scripture is called the friend of God. Can we be friends of God? James 2. We read this before, but let's reread it. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father, notice our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Note that believing God in this verse includes being persuaded to obey God's commandments, which Abraham was persuaded. The one time in the New Testament where we find this expression, the scriptures refer to an Old Testament passage. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, we find the first time that Abraham is called the friend of God. And there must have been a prophet there, because this is not in scripture before Jehoshaphat's time. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave us to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? So Jehoshaphat knew that Abraham was God's friend. So where did Jehoshaphat hear that? There must have been some teaching that is not recorded in the pages of scripture today. Then about 100 or more years later, God himself referred to Abraham as his friend. Isaiah 41, verse 8. And thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. So why would God designate that Abraham was his friend? The only one called the friend of God in all scripture is Abraham. And that whole happened only after Abraham was 112 years old. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 17, God's tribute to Abraham is marvelous. Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So God made a promise, and Abraham believed that God would make Isaac, his seed, to come from Isaac. And no matter what happened to Isaac, God's promise would not fail. And even if a miracle had to happen, which he understood would be God raising him from the dead after he killed him, that was Abraham's faith. God's promise will be fulfilled. And we need to have that same kind of faith in all of God's promises. So there are other ways in the Old Testament in which men were at least friendly with God, even if they were not called the friends of God. Let's look at a few of these scriptures here, starting in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. We have a Hebrew word, 8003, which is shalom, and we hear the Jews saying that regularly, and to the Jews today, shalom means peace. Well, this word is 8003. It means to be complete. And this is not complete in the sense of the other word, 8549, of what means complete. But it does mean complete. And so shalom then is to be safe, according to Strong's dictionary. So shalom then would be peace, or may you be safe. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So David had a heart that was perfect, 8003, in the sense of being safe or friendly. In 1 Kings 15, verse 14, the same word is used concerning Asa. So these are very special people. David had that same heart, and Asa now in 1 Kings 15, 14 has that same heart. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect, 8003, with the Lord all his days. So Asa was a very special person. In 2 Kings 20, verse 13, Hezekiah understood what it meant to have a perfect heart in this 8003 sense. 2 Kings 20, verse 13. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, and here it is, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So here Hezekiah knew that he had a complete heart. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 17, God also testified that not only Ahaz, but Asa's heart was also perfect in the 8003 sense. In spite of the problems he had in humbling himself before God, nevertheless, he had that friendly heart, that complete heart. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect, 8003, all his days. Again, in 2 Chronicles 16, the Lord is particularly pleased with those whose hearts are friendly toward him. Now, this is one of our keys here on can we be a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 16, 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord, here's your principle, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So there's your principle. The Lord has eyes that go throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So God was not happy with this king. A few men had the honor of being having a perfect heart toward God. Nevertheless, only Abraham has the distinction of being called the friend of God. So why was Abraham the only one in Scripture who was called the friend of God? As mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, those who see no distinction between the Father and the Son do not understand these points. No man has seen the Father. Many souls have seen Christ after the resurrection in a physical form, but no man has seen the Father in any form. John 15, verse 15, being the friend of God is not the same as being the friend of Christ. John 15, verse 15, we'll consider Jesus' New Testament definition of friendship. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Why? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So there's a definition of a friend. He tells his friend his secrets. The ones in the world that he cannot trust, he doesn't tell them any of his secrets, only to his friends. And Jesus showed these apostles everything the Father showed him. So Genesis 18, verses 17 to 19, God considered Abraham as his friend and so informed him of what he was going to do to Sodom. So keep in mind now, a friend shares what he's thinking. And here is God's word then toward Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Well, he hid it from everybody else. Abraham was close to being called a friend of God even here. Genesis 18, 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So there's two more reasons why the Lord then shared with Abraham what he was going to do with Sodom. And verse 18, seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him by his being their father. For I know him. Here's the reason why God chose Abraham. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. So there's the reason why he was chosen by God and used by God, is that he was faithful to God in obeying all of his commandments. So Abraham will become a mighty nation. That's why he told him about Sodom. All nations would be blessed through Abraham. That's why he told Abraham about Sodom. And Abraham would train his children to keep God's ways. And there are three solid reasons why he would share what he did with Abraham. But friends show Abraham, friends what they're thinking. And God then showed Abraham what he was thinking. So why did God make these promises then to Abraham? At that time, Abraham was very close to being called God's friend. Galatians, the third chapter in verse 8. God revealed his gospel to Abraham long before the New Testament was given. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now notice, these things were hidden, even though they're very plainly stated in the scripture. These things were hidden from everybody except a very few. And he preached the gospel to Abraham ahead of time. And the gospel in this case was that all nations would be blessed if they have the faith of Abraham. Ephesians 3:3-6. This was one of the mysteries that is revealed in the New Testament, that God would accept the Gentiles. Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What knowledge? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Which knowledge? As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So what's revealed? Verse 6 tells us that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So now God is making it clear to everybody that the Gentiles are called to be part of God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 8, this doesn't say that God revealed all the New Testament promises to Abraham, but he did reveal the promise that he would, the Gentiles would be accepted. 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So notice, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So he hasn't told all men of the rewards and the blessings that he's going to give when men are in the new kingdom in heaven, and they've inherited that kingdom. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So these things of the reward God has for his children and the faithful in the Old Testament, he didn't reveal it. He didn't say they didn't get it, but they didn't know that they would get it. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 9. Keep in mind that though Abraham was a prophet and the old prophets did not know the mystery that the Gentiles would be accepted, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently to prophesy of the grace that should come unto you. What grace? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. On whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So here these rewards were not mentioned, and the Gentiles were not mentioned. So the reason for Abraham being the only one being called the friend of God may be further understood in God's promise to Abraham and Christ in Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 13. Only Abraham is identified with Christ as being the one to inherit the new world. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So the promise that he would be heir of the world, and he made that promise to Abraham and to his seed, and the seed, of course, being Christ. So Galatians 3 and verse 16, the seed to whom the promise is made with Abraham's, Abraham is identified as Christ himself. Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not of seeds, he saith not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Jesus would come through Abraham's seed, singular. And that seed he identifies as Christ. And so God gave these promises to Abraham because he was very pleased with Abraham. Why? Because he believed all the promises that God gave him. So why were there so many great promises given to Abraham? Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Faith in God is the key to our service to God. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But here God gave Abraham these great and precious promises, And that's how we are to be partakers of the divine nature, by the same kind of promise. So, 1 John 5, verse 45, how great is this faith that we could ask for a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea? 1 John 5, verse 45, so whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5, verse 45. We notice the faith of Abraham can give us power to overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What kind of faith? We need the faith that Abraham had to believe all of God's promises, no matter whether they seemed ridiculous or not. And then he says it again in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So these people do overcome the world. Romans, the fourth chapter, verses 11 to 13. The faith that is in the authority of the Father gave to Jesus. If we obey the authority, the Father is pleased. Look at the blessing, because Abraham pleased the Father. Romans 4:11. And he, that is Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So God was very pleased with Abraham, because no matter what promise God made to Abraham, Abraham trusted God that he would fulfill it. He was very much persuaded. So what does it mean to be the father of those who believe? Who trusted God more than Abraham? James 1, verses 5 through 8. And we're asking the question, what does it mean to be the father of those that believe? James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what happens if I believe some of the promises of God and some of the statements God makes, but I don't believe them all? I'm a double-minded man. I need to believe in every single promise that God makes. Romans 4:16. Romans 4, verse 16. God gave Abraham to his children to be a father for us, the father, to follow, knowingly and willingly follow in Abraham's steps. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, who was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So if we have that same kind of righteousness, can we be the friend of God? Romans, the fourth chapter, Romans 4, verse 23, noted that the same righteousness that applied to Abraham can apply to all of Abraham's children. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed. That's righteousness imputed to Abraham because he believed the promises. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So what happens then if we believe all the promises that God makes? If we believe, then we'll be pleasing to the Father, just like Abraham. Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 18. Notice now why Abraham, what reward Abraham got because he did believe in God's promises. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become, in the Greek is to become, the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So God made many promises to Abraham, and Abraham believed every one of them. Abraham also obeyed all the commandments of God. Why? Because he was persuaded that God knows what is best. So Hebrews 6 and verse 12, the faith of Abraham is the pathway to inheriting the promises of God. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, Abraham is definitely included in those that through faith and patience inherit the promises. So what was the way to receive God's promises? To have the faith like Abraham. So can we be a friend of God? And we come back to that same question. God loved the apostles with a friendship love, which is being a friend of God. If we have the same faith Abraham had, God may love us with that friendship love. So the apostles loved, and this is phileo, Jesus. Therefore, the Father loved phileo, the apostles, with that same love. So here, if Father loves the apostles with his phileo love, is it possible for someone besides Abraham to be a friend of God? Were the apostles friends of God if God loved them with that friendship love? So for 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, now we apply this lesson. 2 Peter 1, 3, Abraham is our great example of believing every one of God's great and precious promises, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So how do we get all these great and precious promises? Through the knowledge of him that's called us. Wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have these exceeding great and precious promises that sound like they're impossible. And these things pertain to life and godliness. And it's through these promises that we can be partakers of God's divine nature. But we've got to believe the promises like Abraham. Today, who from 1500 BC have been the two most influential nations in the world, and that's Abraham and his son Isaac, the Muslims. What does this say about God and Abraham? Who is honored more than Abraham? Who's had nations that have existed for 3,000 years? for 4,000 years. Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4, verse 16. God continues to use Abraham as having the kind of faith that saves men eternally. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, the Jews, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles, who is the father of us all. So if Abraham is our father, we're believing the promises of God, and we're obeying the commandments of God. So Abraham was God's friend because he passed impossible tests. Can we also pass impossible tests? John 16, 27, the apostles were friends of God. Now, this is the possibility of someone besides Abraham being a child being a friend of God. For the Father himself loves you, speaking to the 11 apostles, 53:68, that's your phileo, the friendship love, because you have loved me. So the apostles loved Jesus as a friend, and they believed that he came out from God. So why did the Father love the apostles with this agape, with this phileo love? And the reason is because the apostles loved Jesus. So if the Father loved the apostles with that kind of love, why could not we love Jesus with the same? But nevertheless, in John 14, 21, that's not the word that he uses here. John 14, 21, we can love Jesus by obeying his commandments with the agape love. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. There's your agape. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. There's your agape. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So far that phileo love, friendship love, is not involved here. So we have the promise that the Father will love us with the agape love. John 14, the same thing. Jesus answered, verse 23, and said unto him, if a man love, that's your agape, me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So God loves those that love him with the agape love. And then here's our hope, John 15, verse 14. Can we be Jesus' friend? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And this friend is 53:84. So if we love Jesus with that friendship love, then it's very possible the Father will love us with that friendship love. God is not a respecter of persons. And if the apostles were loved by God with that friendship love, is it possible for us to be the same? They believed the promises of God. We can do the same thing. They obeyed the commands of God. We can do the same thing. And if we obey the commands of Christ, we are his friend. And we're doing whatever he commands. And when the apostles did that very thing, they were loved by God with that old love. I appreciate your attention and pray that we'll consider the ones God has honored, or the one God has honored above all but Jesus. And we also can seek to be the friend of Jesus. And the more commands we obey, the more we are his friend.